This is the Van Cleek Cooley radio show, folks. Every Wednesday night for 2 hours, 8 till 10 p.m. The Van Cleek Cooley radio show just airs here. Sometimes we do a pre-recorded show, which is what we're doing right now.
Hey, Cooley, did you know that at the moment Michael Jackson stepped on the stage dancing his moonwalk on the 25th anniversary Motown special last year?
Last year.
Breakdancing took a giant step towards, a giant step forward. And in the space of about a year, rock and pop videos have brought breakdancing into international fame. It's infected a generation worldwide with the speed of a runaway epidemic.
Like an Ebola.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Infected. I don't know why they infected, would use this word.
Infected. Michael Jackson, colorful. It's kind of funny. Epidemic. That's the liner notes of the breakdance vinyl that you picked up this weekend for such a steal. Like, in all seriousness, yeah, $250 for that. So cheap. Mm-hmm. That's very, very cheap. That's a great album. I'm gonna play some more tunes from that album in the background here as we chat along here. Some Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Bring back memories?
This totally brings back memories of unbelievable. Unbelievable memories. I love these days of rap music. It was so fun. It was so new. No one was playing this stuff. Like, there was a record, there was a radio show in Ottawa back in those days. I'm sure Toronto was different, but back in those days, there was one radio show on a Saturday afternoon. Listen to all the breakbeats playing here. But there was one radio show called... I can't even remember what it was called. Saturday afternoon, I think about 3 p.m. on CKCU. And the DJ, the MC, the producer of the show, his name was Delorious or Elorious Kane, something like that. And I would look forward to this radio show for a week. And I would record it. Record it on tape. And for the off chance that he played a new rap song. And it was only an hour long that he was playing, like, new funk stuff is what he called it. And now and again, he would play something that was just unbelievable, like Grandmaster Flash. It was where I first heard my first P.E., Public Enemy. Radio station is where I first heard Tribe Called Quest. And in those days, it was so exciting because no one else was really listening to the music. It was so brand new. It was so fresh. It was so different. Like, I remember getting my first tracksuit. It was a big deal, too. It was a really big deal. I got a white Adidas suit with green stripes.
Uh-huh. And I can picture you in it.
Oh, totally. Totally. I was rocking it.
The high tops?
I had really cheap high tops. I didn't have Adidas or Nike or anything. Yeah. I had really cheap, like, Trax high tops with the Velcro. And I was pretty rad. I was pretty flippin'. I was pretty on top of it. And in those days, no one dressed like that. There was about 10 rappers in Ottawa in those days and growing every day, right? It was just catching on. And, I don't know if you know this, but, our IT guy at Bose, Brian Boswell, he was one of the original rappers in Ottawa as well. One of the original DJs. And we were talking last week about the one record store in Ottawa that you could get some new fresh tunes. It was Downtown Records, downtown Ottawa, way off the beaten track too. Like, it was hard to get to. You had to get off a bus and walk about 5-6 kilometers to get there. Go in, and they had 1,200 turntables set up so you can listen to the vinyl before you bought it. I remember going in there and listening to Ice-T. For the first time. Just amazing. I remember those days. It was such good times. Now the music has blown up. It's gone commercial. It's what happens with every music, of course. But, we're talking 20-something years ago, 25 years ago in some cases, 30 years in some cases. Listening to some of that stuff. Unbelievable times. Yep, that's about it.
I can tell you the first rap record that I heard.
Rap record? Yeah, tell me. Who?
It was the Fushnikins.
No.
Yeah, it was. It was like
that
late
80s. That was the first one.
Yeah, that's the first one. My brother owned it on audio cassette.
That wasn't late 80s. The Fushnikins, was it?
late 80s, early 90s?
That would have been the Foo Schnickens. Wow.
And Maestro.
And Maestro, yeah.
Because we were from Toronto. Of course. He was a big deal.
Yeah, he was a big deal. He was a great rapper. Yeah. He did a lot of good things for Canadian rap. The Foo Schnickens. I can't even find any hits. Spelling it wrong.
Now that I'm thinking about it, it couldn't have been the first because he was so fast. I was like, this is the fastest rapper that I've ever heard.
1991, actually. Yeah, you're right. Sorry about that.
Well, I said late 80s, but it is the 90s.
Same thing. They recorded it in the late 80s.
Yeah.
The Foo Schnickens, such fast rappers. Yeah.
That was the fastest. And I think I still have not. I don't know. Do you know anybody that can rap faster than those guys?
Oh, there's rap. I don't know their names. I've lost track in who's who, but there's guys that rap way faster than that now. But the Foo Schnickens were caught, and they were sort of Milli Vanilli'd.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
They were nailed in the studio.
How?
For actually recording and speeding it up and truncating it and, like, putting it together. So they weren't actually...
This is killing my childhood.
I know. Right now. Sorry about that. 1991 is gone.
Wow. Yeah. They had the lyrics in their liner notes, too, and it was just, like, loads and loads of words.
There's,
just like...
there's no way they could have done that, like, at all in the studio at all. They had to go in and do it until they stop and then do that same series of like that part of the verse over again and then stick it together in the studio.
Yeah. But that's what they did?
Oh, absolutely.
Or did they speed it up?
Oh, they stuck it together and they sped it up.
Okay. Sticking together, I would still consider that pretty good.
That's pretty whack, though, really? If you're going...
Not even absolutely. In one take? Because I remember when I was in the band, when I was in a band...
Yeah. You were in the Foo Schnickens?
No, not in the Foo Schnickens. I was in a band in Toronto, a punk band. I would do all one take. And if I screwed up the take, we wouldn't use that take.
Really?
But then I would see these other new bands coming out, and they would just be like, I can tell he couldn't do this all in one breath, right?
Yeah, totally.
And they would just admit it. Yeah, I did it in two takes. And I wasn't angry at them. I was jealous. I'm like, why didn't I think of that?
What? Well, actually, even worse, why didn't your producer?
Well, producer was the basement of our... Like,
oh, I see, you know, I see.
It was back then.
I get you. So you weren't paying big dollars for the studio time? I get you. Yeah,
sticking it together, I don't know. I think it's still you, right? If you're speeding it up, that sort of sounds
they,
like
they absolutely were speeding it up.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Of course, 1991, the Foo Schnickens members, Chip Foo and Pock Foo, as you would remember. I wonder what old Chip and Pock are doing these days.
Yeah, we should look them up.
Rapping really fast, pumping gas.
Maybe
or something
we can
like
get them on the line.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, phone up Chip Foo. I wonder what Chip Foo is doing right now. Probably not too much.
He would just answer the phone and be like, Lush Moo.
I got nothing to prove still. Oh, the Foo Schnickens. Good times. Right now we're rapping over some old tracks from way, way back when. When rap music was still new. It was still very young. It was still very virgin-esque. Chip Foo and Pock Foo weren't even born, I don't think, in those days. They weren't you know, making fake stuff up in the studio.
Speeding it up,
Milli Vanilliing themselves.
I think that's the wrong word because Milli Vanilli didn't even sing.
I don't know. I'm just putting them up against real whack singers, Milli Vanilli. If you know what I'm saying. Those were the days of fun. Chip, I can't believe. Really? Are you serious? That was the first rap you heard?
Yeah. It was
in 1991?
You know what? I shouldn't say that.
How did you not hear, like, Public Enemy?
I was 10 years old. In Scarborough, too. So it probably wasn't the first rap I ever heard. I just wasn't into that music.
You must have heard, like, the Dream Warriors.
Dream Warriors, Arrested Development. I was into those guys.
Yeah. Very good. They were fantastic.
Like I said, Maestro. What's the guy with the fake nose? Shock G?
Yeah. Humpty?
Yeah, he was good.
Shock G of Digital Underground?
I still have yet to hear someone that sounds like as good as him. He had a voice that was like so unique, and you could tell that's Shock G, even though I didn't know his name until recently.
Yeah.
But it's like that's the guy from the Humpty Dance, right?
Yeah, totally. Did you know that they just stopped touring about 2 years ago?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
They just kept going, and I guess they were real musicians. They would hang out after their own shows and just play music and like piano, drums, guitar, the whole deal. Super musicians. They ran out of steam. They were touring so much throughout the U.S. not promoting new albums that it was like, what's the point of doing this anymore?
But if Shock G was in town, I'd go see him for sure.
At the Windsor.
Yeah, I'd go see Shock G.
Shock G.
You know what? All these memories, you know what? I remember, if this came out earlier, this is the first one, okay? It was, he's the DJ, I'm the rapper.
Oh, really? I've got that right here if you want to hear it.
There was a song on there called As We Go, and I remember that being my favorite off the record.
We're talking DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, right?
Yeah. So whatever year that came out, I remember picking that up out of my brother's cassette collection and thinking, oh, this looks interesting. So I put it in, and it was like, you know, Nightmare on My Street. And,
yeah, totally.
But I remember As We Go had the best, it was the best song on there. And, you know, not a lot of people know that song. If I bring it up, maybe they do, but.
I actually don't have this. Oh, I have, I don't have that album. Yeah, I did lie a little
bit. What year did it come out? Do you know?
He's a DJ, I'm the rapper. I think that was, well, this album would be, let's see here, doing research on the spot here. We're talking 88.
Yeah.
That album probably came out 86, 87.
Wow.
Those were the days. It was
still, he's, well, I don't know. I haven't been following too many like scratch DJs, but he is my favorite.
Oh, Jazzy Jeff was one of the best DJs of all time. He is known, still known to this day for creating a type of scratching called the Transformer. Mm-hmm. Transformer was crossfading back and forth while you're holding the record. It's simple now, but he was the first one to do it. The Philly DJs looked up to Jazzy Jeff for sure. And it was funny. A little while ago, I was talking about the early days of rap on this show. And Jean had no idea that Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince was Will Smith.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't put the two together. Well, I mean, why would he? He doesn't follow the music. He didn't know that they were the same person. And quite frankly, they're not really the same person because...
Well, in the early... If you watch some old Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the first couple of episodes or the first season, he still brings in Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, yeah.
They still act like they're...
Throw him out, right?
Yeah. Well, that's Uncle Phil. But when they would interact like they were in a band together.
Yes, absolutely.
Or in a rap group.
I think Jazzy Jeff needed some money is what it came down to.
Yeah.
Jazzy Jeff... at that point in time, I remember hearing this. I read it in the Rap Pages magazine that came out monthly back then. That Jazzy Jeff, when that TV show started, they were big stars in the hip hop world. And Jeff was still living at his mom's house.
Yeah, I believe that.
Like, why? And he was a world renowned DJ. And I'm gonna play some Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince right now. This is Jeff Was on the Beatbox by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Oh yeah. We'll be right back, folks. This is the Van Cleef & Cooley Radio Show with Eddie Earwig.
So the hell would they think? Moving like a freight train, can't be stopped. hoping. You DJs out there keep hoping. His beatboxes will be broken, but you might as well just keep hoping. He Kiwi can't be forsaken. You think he can, you're mistaken. Our records, he is forsaken. Grammy winning musicians, his beatboxes are kissing, and all my rhymes are his hitting. The album's out, so go get it. There ain't no way we're stopping. We keep the parties rocking. We got the crowd and hip hopping. When Jeff is on the beatbox.
Oh yeah, Van Cleef & Cooley here. Got the dance party going on here, 76 Main Street, the Review Studios.
It's a Monday or a Wednesday.
Yeah, Monday or Wednesday. And if it's not really Wednesday, and if it is Monday, shoot, you can get wings next door at the Windsor.
So that tune by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, that brought back some memories.
Oh, it had God, to have. Yeah, absolutely, it did. And such good times.
During that song, we were talking about the dirtiest rap group that I ever heard as a kid.
Yeah.
Two Live Crew.
Two Live Crew, yeah. Luke, that's who it was. DJ Luke, or Luke was the guy in behind all of that. I wasn't big into the Two Live Crew. It really wasn't my type of rapping, and just profanity for the sakes of profanity wasn't really what I was looking for.
I think that's what they did. I didn't get into Two Live Crew until in my late 20s or 30s, and I was surprised when I heard just how nasty the lyrics were.
Oh, absolutely.
How dirty.
Horrible.
Like, you don't even get groups today go, they almost give respect to them, like, they did it, it's done. Yeah. They hit that level of just dirty lyrics.
There's a song that's on like pop radio right now, and it's not dirty, obviously, but it's all about girls shaking their butt, and that's what it was.
Yeah,
and it sounds like Two Live Crew.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember,
is it the Nicki Minaj one?
It could be,
because the video is just girls shaking their butts.
Well, I haven't seen the video, okay. But the song is pretty much a ripoff of Two Live Crew.
Okay,
and I got into the van one day. My family was waiting for me. I went into the house and came back out. And then I could hear the bass booming as I walked up to the car, and I got in. And my kids were both smiling in the back, kind of rapping along to it. And my wife is like, guys, she turned it down. She's like, this is Two Live Crew. And I was like, honey, you know about Two Live Crew? Like, awesome. But this was done years and years and years ago by Two Live Crew.
Yeah.
And it was terrible back then. Like, they got court cases coming out their yin yang back then.
Well, is it because they were using the samples from movies? And
They were getting nailed for samples, mm-hmm. and they were getting nailed for like the profanity stuff. Yeah. You got to remember back then there was a huge push on parental guidance or profanity.
But their lyrics are like, I blush when I hear disgusting. Them today.
Oh yeah, disgusting.
There's some stuff, it's just like, why are they even saying this in the song? They're just yelling it. It's not even part of the rap, like the lyrics. It's just...
No, they're just, it's disgraceful is what it is, really. It's like
not that I'm against it.
No.
But I'm like, wow, this is from the 80s?
It's for prison inmates is what it really is. It's terrible stuff. We're going to play some 2 Live Crew. We pick the cleanest version... or cleanest song. I'm hoping you're right with this.
I played it on when I took over your show the second week. I played this song.
So. You played this song?
Yeah.
We're going to play Coolin' by the 2 Live Crew coming up here. They went down in history as, I think, one of the most... not really talented at all, really. They couldn't really
rap. There were some songs that were catchy, like Me So Horny was pretty catchy.
Yeah, it was neat for its time, like what it did, but... There wasn't anything special there. There was no, to me, this is just my taste, I guess. But they got nailed against the wall so hard by government in those days. And they loved it, right? It was good press for them.
Yeah.
And it's what they wanted. They, as well as, you know, the Ghetto Boys. Have you ever heard of the Ghetto Boys?
No.
Oh, talk about profanity and bad stuff. Like talking about real bad stuff that you just shouldn't
crossing the line.
Oh, totally crossing the line. But these guys sold millions of albums because they appealed to those people. You know, they really sold into the niche of the young white kid.
Yeah.
And also I saw a documentary on this. They sold into the young white kid and also the prison inmate. I wasn't joking about that. The prison inmate loved these guys, the Ghetto Boys, because they were talking about murdering and you know, jail time stuff. Anyways, enough of that. I digress. Here's Coolin' by the 2 Live Crew on Van Cleek Hill Radio. Van Cleek FM, the voice of the community. Here's 2 Live Crew.
I'm here for the choosing. Marquise is chilling hard, cooling.
still picking blamers. Here's a toast to our success. Break out the dawn, cause we owe it to ourselves. So let's find a hideaway in the Caribbean. Sail the ocean like a longshore seaman. Go into the islands to have some fun. Hit the beach and take in a little sun. Feeling the breezes of the cool winds blowing. On a mission, not knowing where I'm going. It's a free day, and I got free time. And I'm loving every minute of this life of mine. You see, the lady I choose must like to cool in the French cut bikini by the pool. Having good times, that's what we'll be doing. Like Loganeers, Stone Cold Coolin'.
Nigga, listen to the shit, cause I am the ill figure. Nobody's getting any bigger than this.
Get it together.
Phone is ringing. Oh my god.
Get it together.
For them is bony. Gotta do it like this, like Chachi and Joni.
Cause she's the cheese and I'm the macaroni. So why all the fight? Why all the fuss? Cause I ain't got no back. Yeah, you know I'm getting silly. Got a grandma, he's still in a grandma chili. I'm the grand royal prince and I'm also a member. Born on the cusp in the month of November. I do the fatty tongue in the case you don't remember. Well, I freak a fucking beat like the shit was in a blender.
Like Mace, cause I back him off with the quills. Cause I had to tell ya, nigga, cause I keep it under frills. Rest of 191116th Ave, off of Farmers Boulevard.
But I'm from Manhattan, MCA's from Brooklyn. Yeah, MCA, you should've
I eat the fucking pineapple, now my laters. Listen to me now, don't listen to me later. Fuck it, cause I know I didn't make it fucking mine for real. But yo, technically, I'm as hard as steel.
Gonna get it together, watch it. Gonna get it together, my bell.
Like my bell, I got the ill communication. My bell, 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 keep it on and on and on and on and on.
And welcome back.
I didn't know you had a cooking show. That was a pretty good clip earlier.
Did you like that?
God, yeah.
Played the beginning of that again. The cooking with Cooley disaster.
Yeah, you were cooking the butter. Though.
I was just, you know, playing around with butter, and then things went wild in the studio again. That I converted to a kitchen for a couple moments, and things blew up.
So that song
they usually do.
I'm convinced that Q-Tip was freestyling, but you were convinced he wasn't.
I don't know. I know he, yeah, awesome rapper, awesome freestylist, maybe.
It sounds like the Beastie Boys have it like written. They know what they're going to say, but he comes in and it sounds like maybe he's all over the place.
Well, what's the lyrics that you just threw down that he you think makes it sound like he was freestyling?
He says, "Oh, screw it. I didn't make it rhyme for real, but technically I'm as hard as steel."
But that's almost too written. That's too.
But the previous line, I can't remember what it was. He doesn't make it rhyme for real. He just says the same word twice.
He is pretty amazing. That's Tribe Called Quest, Q-Tip. And I'm always going to say that. Q-Tip is now a solo artist, Tribe Called Quest. I don't want to say they're no more, but they're kind of no more. The movie, I think it's called Beats, Rhymes, and Life, BRL, was out about five or... No, maybe within 7 years. Within the last 7 years.
I heard the movie was good.
It was amazing. It was a real profile on Tribe Called Quest, where they came from. What they were all about in the early days, and then what happened as fame hit them and the albums came out, the record company got a hold of them. Fife Dog got rhyming and blew up, and his personal life started going bad. He was diabetic, and his diabetes was a real issue because he was eating and drinking a lot and he wasn't taking care of himself when on the road. And there was points in time when he actually couldn't make it on stage because his diabetes had taken him out.
Yeah.
Case in point, Tribe Called Quest on David Letterman, it was just Q-Tip out there doing both rhymes, both verses. It was very odd, and David Letterman said, you know, our friend Fife can't come out tonight. They had been on Letterman before, but Fife could not come out that night. He was very ill. The movie was very good, and it was about how, you know, your typical rock band that just went on and on and on, and they just, like, Jagger Richards sort of thing, they just could not get along. Q-Tip and Fife Dog just could not get along, and the DJ, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, was just stuck in the middle. And a very peaceful man he was trying to get the two back together and be friends, and it just never happened. And at the end of the movie, it was just sort of a shot of Fife Dog saying, well, you know, like, if he's not willing to, you know, be my friend, or however he was saying it, was, you know, like, I don't care anymore, we got the money, we got this and that. And then it was a clip of Q-Tip saying, he said what? He really said that? Oh, man, okay, that's it. I'm done.
Oh, really?
And then that was it. It was really sad for me because I'm such a big Tribe Called Quest fan my whole life. Good beats, good rhymes, good life that they had together. Anyways, Ed,
go into the next part. That reminds me of the Ramones documentary.
Oh, yeah?
Have you ever seen that?
No.
I don't know if you were into the Ramones.
But no, never was.
Same sort of deal. It's like the two main guys.
Joey Ramone and
Johnny, they just couldn't get along. And then they had this movie where... You know, that's their different perspectives, and you kind of see where they're all coming from. And by the end of the movie, it's still the same, right? They're at each other's throats.
So tell me a little bit about the Ramones. I know some of their songs, and they were a big punk rock band, but they weren't. Was that their actual last name?
No, okay, no, they got their name. There was the Beatles' rejected name, so they took it.
Hey,
the Beatles were supposed to be called the Ramones.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And says who?
Well, it was Paul McCartney's name for the band or something like that.
Oh, right? Really?
Yeah, I look it up. It's true. So the so Joey or Johnny, whoever came up with the name, they picked it because it was the default.
Yeah. The backup Beatles
name. And the, you know, there's people disputing whether or not, you know, United States were responsible for creating punk rock or the UK with the Sex Pistols.
And, yeah. And what year did the Ramones come out?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know the technical the details, but Ramones, great punk band.
Yeah.
You should get into them if you want to get into punk. And Three Chords.
And that's they're all done now, right? The last guy died?
There's the last original member died, yes, but there's still, you know, other Ramones out there. Like CJ Ramone, who came in later. He's still considered CJ Ramone. He still tours. And
as just like the guitarist.
Yeah, if you see CJ Ramone, he'll play Ramone songs. But yeah, he was the guitar player.
Okay. And the lead singer was?
Joey.
Okay, and he's dead?
I think he was after Dee Dee, he was the one that died.
Okay.
And then Johnny died.
Just recently, right? Someone just
died? No, it must have been like 10 years ago.
But someone died recently.
Oh, yeah. That was the last guy. I think he was the drummer.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't know all too much details, mm-hmm. but, it, you know, the Ramones are,
you
know.
Keep telling me you don't have the detail and I'm pushing you on it. No, tell me more, Ed. Tell me more.
I didn't really get into too many details of the Ramones mm-hmm. as, like, you know, their personal lives, but I really dug their tunes. Right?
Really?
They were a big influence in my music, even though we never got anywhere like the Ramones did. But
did the Ramones, your band was a little Scottish, right?
Yeah, but we covered some Ramones tunes.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So speaking of the Ramones, you've got your iPod plugged in right now.
Yeah, but I'm not going to play Ramones.
No, you're not going to. You're going to play some unplugged Jay-Z.
Yeah, so the story behind this is I was listening to... you ever listen to Songza?
Yeah, I've heard of it, though.
Okay, so you plug in like a search word, and I plugged in... Like, I wanted something chill. So I plugged in the word unplugged, and it started Nirvana. Playing... It started playing some Nirvana Unplugged and
Stone Temple Pilots.
And then it played Jay-Z. And I was like, what?
So I
looked into it a little bit, and there's a Jay-Z album. I don't know when it came out, but The Roots is his backup band.
Oh, cool.
So it's pretty awesome. It's Jay-Z doing his thing where it's like he doesn't swear, and, you know, he says Jigga instead of anything, you know, too, like...
It's kind of whack, but...
Yeah, he says Jigga. He says instead of, you know, like the F word, he'll say like something frig. Different. Yeah, frig. He won't say frig, but he'll say something. You can tell he's done a lot of shows where they're like, you can't swear, so really? He knows what to say.
Okay.
And the whole album, I guess, has got released by MTV.
Oh, of course.
And,
yeah.
And so they, you know, they might have edited it. There's no bleeps or anything, but it sounds pretty good. They have the Roots in the, like I said, the Roots is the backup band.
Roots are amazing.
That's my first concert. Can you believe that?
The Roots. Really?
I saw Roots and Beck.
And Beck, wow.
And Roots stole the show.
Oh, I bet. I was going to say who opened for who, but Roots opened for Beck?
Yeah, Roots opened for Beck, because I went to see Beck, because I was a big Beck fan.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I don't know who this band is, The Roots, but they were amazing.
They're amazing.
And I wasn't even really into that music, but I was they blew Beck out of the water.
I just downloaded all of The Roots music a few weeks back. Gotta put it on my iPhone tomorrow, because I want to listen to that when I'm driving to Toronto. Absolutely musically profound music, like just fantastic music.
Yeah.
But so we're going to play some Jay-Z Unplugged.
Unplugged. You can hear like the audience and...
Really?
He talks about... I don't know. I kind of fast forward a little bit because the intro is kind of long, but he talks about how the Roots are his backup band.
Okay.
The song is Izzo. Have you known the song Izzo?
I probably do.
It's like one of his big hits.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Jay-Z fan. I was telling you off air. I started walking away from rap music in like 92, maybe.
What gave you the bad taste in your mouth? What was the band you were like, okay, I'm done?
It was about 95, sorry. What was going on? It was after the Cypress Hill and House of Pain, big thing, and then the Fushnikins. I remember the Fushnikin days. I don't know what was going on. Oh, you know what it was, actually?
It was... Well, okay. So never mind. Go.
No, you tell me.
I was gonna say Kid Rock.
No, it was long. It was long before Kid Rock. It was the, whole West Coast thing coming on, and not that I didn't like it. I didn't really have a problem with it. It just wasn't my favorite sound,
And so that's like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
No, Dre, I was always a huge fan of. Very, very high praise for Dre. One of the best producers of all time. Tight Rhymes on Niggas for Life with N.W.A., his final last album where he actually was a true artist. After that, he was more of a producer than anything. Guy can still rhyme. You know, like lots of West Coast artists that have come out that are amazing.
Yeah.
But I didn't have time for the music anymore because I was in a rap group in those days. Myself, the High Kings in Ottawa, we were three white dudes touring, and we just had tough roads. We never got any respect. We were a good group. I was just getting tired of the music and the fact that I would pay 20, 30 bucks and go to a concert and just watch a bunch of dudes up on stage yelling and screaming into a mic, walking around in circles over a 4-4 beat. And nothing new happening.
Yeah.
I was kind of upset with the music because it wasn't going anywhere at all. And as far as I'm concerned, it still really hasn't. There's been some artists that have done some things that have amazed me, like Jay-Z. The man on that album, Donuts, that I was playing at off the beginning, he's got off-time beats, which no one has done before or again. And the man is amazing.
So what do you think about someone like Eminem coming in or...
Oh, yeah, amazing rapper.
50 Cent.
Good rapper.
Yeah.
I actually know a good friend of mine, the guy that actually engineered and produced a lot of my music. Back in the days, produced a good portion of his first album, 50 Cent, in the club.
Yeah.
Produced that whole song.
Cool.
Made a lot of money on it, tell you that much. Anyways, back to what we were talking about. We're going to play some Jay-Z Unplugged with The Roots as his backing band.
Yeah, let's do it.
Here on Van Cleek Cooley.
Sometimes they call me Jigga. Time to call me Young Ho. Iceberg. Tonight I'm. You gotta love that, man. I got the most incredible Roots band with me tonight, y'all. It's a beautiful thing. Welcome, everybody, to the eighth wonder of the world. The flow of the century. Oh, it's timeless. Ho! We want to thank everybody for coming out. You could have been anywhere in the world. You're here with me. I appreciate that. Let's rock. H to the Izzo, V to the Izzo. Shizumanas who used to dribble down at VA was hurting them in the home of the Turpins. Got a third cheap for them. Plus if they were short with cheese, I would work with them. I bought it weed, got rid of that dirt for them. Wasn't born hustlers, I was birthing them. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzo. But she's even easy, keep my arms so breezy. Can't leave rap alone, the game needs me. Haters want me clap that chrome, it ain't easy. Cops wanna knock me, DA wanna box me in. But somehow I beat them charges like Rocky. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzo. Still not guilty, he who does not feel me is not real to me. Therefore he doesn't exist, so poof. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzo. Push his own mind as who used to dribble down at VA. H-O-B-A, that's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzo. Still not guilty, y'all got to feel me. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzo. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. I do this for my culture, to let them know what your boy look like when your boy in that roaster. Show them how to move in the room full of vultures. Industry shady, you need to be taken over. Label owners hate me, I'm raising the status quo up. I'm overcharging labels for what they did to the co-crush. Pay us like you owe us for all the years that you hold us. We can talk, but money talk, let's talk more. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzo. Which is the one is who used to dribble down at VA. H-O-B-A, that's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H to the Izzo, B to the Izzo. Which is the one is who used to dribble down at VA. H-O-B-A, that's the anthem, get your damn hands up. Hope is back, life story told through rap. They acting like I sold you crack, like I told you sell drugs. No, hope did that, so hopefully you want to go through that. I was raised in the projects, roaches and rats. Smokers out back, selling their mama sofa. Lookouts on the corner, focus on the app. Ladies in the window.
dreams deflate like a true fiend's weight. To try, to fail, the two things I hate. Succeed in this rap game, the two things is great. H-O-V-D. Yeah! A to the is O, B to the is A. For Shizzle, my Nizzle used to dribble down at VA. H-O-V-A. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H to the is O, B to the is A. For Shizzle, my Nizzle used to dribble down at VA. H-O-V-A. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H-O-V-A. For Shizzle, my Nizzle used to dribble down at VA. H-O-V-A. That's the anthem, get your damn hands up. H-O-V-A. When Shizzle my Nizzle used to dribble down in VA.
Oh yeah, little unplugged Jay-Z on Van Cleef & Cooley. Here on Van Cleef & Cooley, Van Cleef FM, the voice of the community.
It's either a Monday or a Wednesday, depending on where you are.
It's Monday, Wednesday. Eddie's in the air on the way to Vegas right now.
Yep.
I'm in Toronto. Wednesday night, I am doing...
You're at the Rippers.
Yeah. Yeah, again. Again, just throwing the dollar bills, y'all. Dollar bills.
So you were telling me that you got a new car.
I did get a new car. It's fantastic. I'm not a
new
big,
to you.
New to me. It's not brand new. God, no. What, did I make $1 billion or something? Am I the Van Cleef
Killbilly? That's the only people that get new cars.
Yeah, billionaires. Billionaires. It's funny that there's so many secondhand cars with no one getting new cars. But the Van Cleef Killbilly was looking for a truck for me.
Yeah.
And I was
He's the right
in.
Guy to ask.
He is, totally. I told him. And I thought he was going to say, oh, yeah, I'll look around. He's like, oh, I'll post it up on my Facebook group right now that he has.
Okay.
All truck guys. Within like 3 hours, he had a bunch of vehicles already sent to me.
Oh, cool.
Just hilarious.
So you got a truck?
No, I never ended up buying one of those. I was headed down that road within the next couple of weeks. I was going to zero in on one. And my brothers are mechanics and they could safety it and tell me what it's worth. I was going to pick one up and bring it to my brothers and... lo and behold, my in-laws found out that I was looking for a vehicle, and they were like, well, Sean, how about you just take my RCRV? It's, like a early 2000s CRV. It's only got 200,000 kilometers on it, just over. Hondas, if you're a Honda driver, they go to like 400,000 kilometers if you take care of them. My father-in-law, who drove this car, just drives very slow and takes very good care of his vehicles. Always changes the oil on time and that sort of stuff. The inside of the vehicle...
Boy, it's going to change now, isn't it?
Yeah, things are going to change. But, just today, driving it around with my kids, there was just stuff all over the car. Yeah. Like, drink bottle tops and stuff.
You're braking way ahead of the light.
Oh, way ahead of the light. Yeah, because that's what I was used to. My old car, the brakes were starting to go. The exhaust was done. The window was cracked. It was starting to rust in certain spots. Smelled like
gas. That was
the
one you got
like
pulled
gas.
Over when you had all those Tim Horton coffees for us. I remember you were driving that old beater.
Yeah, the cop didn't like that at all. It is an old beater, and that's what I drive because it's nice and cheap.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, really.
Well, that's the way I look at it, too. As long as the car can get you to where you want to go, it's a good car, right?
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with buying a toy to play with, but, but like spending huge money on a vehicle that just is to get to work makes no sense at all.
Yeah. God. I know a guy that owns this humongous truck, and it's not Gilbank. He owns this humongous truck, and it's just like, okay, well, I can probably get to that place that you want to go to at the exact same time you are.
Cheaper.
Way cheaper.
Less
it takes
gas.
$40 to fill my tank.
$40?
$40, that's it.
It takes Gilbank $40 to start his vehicle. And then he turns the horn on, and there's another $60 down the tube.
Yeah, that's why you don't hear him honking the horn all the time.
No, it's way money. Too expensive. He's just honking that money away, Gilbank. I'm surprised he hasn't driven by yet, actually. I told him he was up in Lachute this afternoon eating turkey. And I said, well, if you're coming back and you could grace us with your presence.
I've known that guy for 5 years. I've never met his sister. Can you believe that?
It's probably.
And he's one of my best friends.
It's probably. He doesn't really have a sister. He goes up and sits in a trailer all by himself. You know what we should do?
He just sits in his truck and he honks the horn.
That's funny. Wish someone could hear it.
Meanwhile, his wallet's empty by the end of the
night. Oh, yeah, totally. That horn honking was expensive, but funny. Oh, Gilbank. We should try to give him a call.
Yeah, we should.
It's past 10.
Let's see. Let's see if I can get him on the line. Or you can ramble in the background while I
try. Oh, I can ramble. God, I can ramble.
You're good at that.
I'm Sean Cooley here. This is the Van Cleek Cooley Radio Show.
We're wrapping it up soon, huh?
Yeah, we are wrapping it up. It's Wednesday night right now, and it's getting close till 10 p.m. And here we are, and we're playing rap music like we do most weeks. We talk about this, talk about that. Tonight we talked about the colorful Michael Jackson on the breakdance album, Herbie Hancock, Rocket, and Wheels of Steel by Grandmaster Flash. We've played some J Dilla and BT Express tonight, Isaac Hayes, some Shut Up Gilbank, some Public Enemy, all sorts of stuff.
Did you mention the Beastie Boys? We played some Beastie Boys.
The Beastie Boys. If anyone has that Beastie Boys Get It Together instrumental for Eddie, we're looking for it. We're looking to do some rhymes this week on
calling Gilbank in the background.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see if Gilbank answers.
I do need the instrumental version of that song.
Get It Together by the Beastie Boys, where allegedly Q-Tip freestyles. I don't believe it.
Hello.
Hey, Gilbank, you're live on the Van Cleek Cooley Radio Show, and it's Wednesday night right now. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a long day at work, but I mean, you know, can't complain.
You were at work today? Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
What's going on, Gilbank?
You know, just relaxing, you know. Don't have to do anything on a Wednesday night. Wednesdays are pretty free.
You're at the Windsor right now.
Keep making references to Wednesday. That's wicked. I love how you're doing that. Were you at the Windsor tonight? Did you go get wings? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, how could you not go get wings on Wing Wednesday night?
Was what's his name there? Looney? Or what's the guy's name?
I don't know.
Who is that?
You're going to laugh, but...
Oh, Dooley.
Dooley, Looney.
Oh, Dooley, yeah. Well, isn't that your twin brother?
Oh, God. You're dead.
Hey, Gilbank.
Louis Cooley, Sean... That's what your name is, right?
Yeah, Sean Liam Cooley. His name is Sean Louis Dooley. There's no similarities whatsoever. Because you're not going to laugh.
I don't see anything.
Yeah, when Cooley's line is, you're not going to laugh at this. And then he tells a depressing story.
Yeah, I'm going to laugh at this, but my dog just died.
So, since it's Wednesday, how many Whoppers did you have at Whopper Wednesday for lunch?
You know, I you wouldn't believe this. I mean...
You're going to laugh.
You're not going to laugh, because I had five, and I'm slightly hurting inside.
I bet you are. How was your turkey weekend, by the way?
Turkey weekend was good, you know? Yeah. And I actually successfully made it out with... without having any turkey, somehow.
What? That's successful?
I completely failed on the whole turkey side. But the best part is, now I get everyone's leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, Gilbank, what's going on for the rest of the week?
Well, I mean, it's two more days till the weekend.
That's right. Because it's Wednesday right now.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what's really weird? Though Eddie is calling you from a plane on the way to Vegas, and I'm in Toronto right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, Ed, I just dropped you off, didn't I?
Yeah, Todd dropped me off at the airport.
We're getting all screwed up. Maybe we shouldn't have called Gilbank. This is kind of weird.
So I called you from the plane, and you're answering from the truck ride back from the airport.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've driven really fast. I've gotten back, and I've had my wings already, so it's all good.
Yeah.
And Cooley is in his brand new CRV.
Yeah, brand new to me.
Going to Toronto.
Brand new to you. That's brand amazing. New. How many clicks does that CRV have?
213,000.
That's like right off the lot. That's like brand new.
For
right
a Honda. Now. For a Honda it is. And you know what the good thing about it is? I've got lots of room in the trunk for a big train horn. Yeah. What do you think of that? Can you hook me up? I got lots of money to throw away.
The guy who knows how to use the internet. So, yeah, we could probably do that.
The internet. That'd
What's
be awesome.
What's going to happen to your old car there, bud?
I don't know, but why? Are you interested? Or?
Not even a little bit.
Really?
I need a paperweight.
You know what bothers me about it? It's on Thursday. I think it was, no, sorry. It was Wednesday night. I didn't know
week,
I was.
A week ago.
Yeah. Yes, a week ago
exactly
today.
Exactly a week ago.
Exactly a week ago today. I didn't know this transaction was happening. Of me getting this CRV, and I went and filled my tank on my old Honda.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Now I got to go siphon that gas. At least just siphon it, throw it on the grass, and burn it. just so I know I did something with it.
Why don't you just drive like things that you wouldn't normally do? You know, like go over speed bumps at like, you know, 60.
Oh, really? That sounds like fun.
Or something that you wouldn't normally do.
You ever been like driving down the road, you see a really big ditch, but it's like a smooth speed bump on the other side, and you kind of wonder, like, how fast would I have to go to get over the ditch and continue going safely? That's the theory we need to test right
now. Yeah, and I still have it licensed and on the road, so if I get pulled over, everything's good. Don't worry, officer, I'm good.
I'm good. This thing's just not road legal.
Do you know what I did do with that vehicle last year? No, about a year and a half ago, with my son in the car. Stupid, stupid, stupid thing out of my old house. Pulled out of the laneway, backed out, and put it in drive and looked down. I wasn't looking at my phone or anything like that. I just looked down at something on the seat to the right of me. And you know what? If you look a certain way and you're driving, you steer that way, right?
Yeah, automatic.
Automatically. And I steered the vehicle right into the ditch. And by the time I looked up, I was headed straight towards an apple tree that's way down the ditch. And my son's like, "Dad, what are you doing?" And I steered my way out of it. And there was two farmers driving tractors on the way down to me. And they were both like, "What are you doing, man?" And I just kept driving by and waved at them like, "Hey, g'day, how are you?" That was normal.
This is how I always drive.
This is me. I'm moving to Van Cleek Hill. This is normal up there.
this is how they do it.
So, Gilbank, tell us about how the weekend's swap meet went.
The swap meet went extremely well, I'd say.
Okay.
I don't think we have a total yet of how much we actually raised for the PKD Foundation,
yeah,
which is a kidney disease foundation. And I think it was probably somewhere around anywhere from $200 to $500, I think.
All right, hon.
Yeah, that's just off of, we had a 50-50 draw, and we had, there was about 15 vendors, all of them with everything from motorcycle parts to old magazines to helmets to even stuff that wasn't really as mechanically related, like old advertisements from like Canadian Tire from the 1970s.
Really?
Kind of neat.
That is neat.
And just lots of old stuff that you can't really find or buy anywhere, like in any stores right now. And there's about 15 vendors, and they all donated, every single one of them. So that's where most of the donations came from.
Really?
That's great. We had frescoes serving up some birds and some hot dogs, and it was actually pretty good. And they donated a bunch of cash, too. A percentage of their sales is coming, but we're not sure what the total is there yet.
Cool.
And yeah, it went really well. It's been, you know, even though it's Wednesday already, I don't know why they haven't got back to us, but, you know, we'll find out.
When I was walking around, I noticed a couple vendors were selling, like, old Hustler collections. Is that, like, expecting that.
There was definitely an old Easy Rider collection.
Yeah,
like I saw.
Yeah, that's awesome, actually.
For you, actually. So it was a great deal. It was like I traded it for some old train hordes and $5. So.
Really?
I'll be delivering it to your place on Friday.
Did you end up buying anything?
I actually didn't buy anything.
Really?
I thought I would, but I got so wound up doing random stuff that I didn't end up buying anything. Plus, I felt really bad because I had so much stuff at home that I think I should have brought, of just stuff I will never, ever end up using.
No, not you in your house.
It's hard to believe. I know. Yeah, so that kind of drove me away from trying to buy anything, but there was top stuff that I wish I kind of got my hands on.
Speaking of driving you to, you told me that day you drove your pneumatic, your lazy boy down the hill to the brewery.
I did. I drove a lazy boy down the hill. So it's a lazy boy mounted on a electric motor. That has a little hand control on it. So it's basically a lazy boy that is a go-kart.
That thing is amazing. Do you still own this thing, or is it parked at the brewery now?
No, I own it. It's back at my house, and I'm probably going to end up trading it for something else ridiculously stupid.
Yeah. You should leave it at the brewery and see if people drive it around the brewery.
Oh, they probably would, but I mean, then now you're just asking for our employees to do less.
Yeah.
But I'm probably gonna end up selling it and getting something else completely useless and dumb and funny for a quick laugh.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So Eddie, you got anything else for Gilbank or
Thanks for driving to the airport tonight, Rod Gilbank.
Hey, man, not a problem. I'm happy to help you out, and I hope you enjoy your amazing trip in Vegas. And don't get married or anything weird, like crazy.
Oh, is that what's going down? Are you guys getting married?
We're not getting married, but we are going to drink a lot of alcohol and gamble.
That's like less like getting married. It's similar.
It's not a lot like it, but I guess there's some similarities.
Yeah, at least that's what TV has taught me.
Gilbank, what are you talking about?
Oh, I don't know. I'm not going to ask you. You're happily married.
Yeah, I am happily married. Happy days.
What time are we at now? Are we good? Or can we play another tune?
Yeah, of course we can. I've got some tunes lined up here. Is that okay, or do you want to play a tune?
No,
or do you,
I'm totally Gilbank to sing? Can you sing us a song?
Let's hear.
What's say that? Again.
Oh, you're gonna listen to this music. That's your thing. It's not. You're gonna laugh. Sean's. You're gonna listen now. Because he's gonna listen to some dudes.
I think Cooley has a song for us. Thanks, Gilbank, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Shut up, Gilbank.
Oh, okay.
See you, Gilbank.
Bye, guys.
That was Rod Gilbank, the future mayor of Ankleek Hill, on the phone here at Ankleek Cooley. Eddie, that was awesome. Maybe we'll play another couple tracks here, and we'll sign out now. And
yeah.
We'll come back.
What do you got
time
in mind for
the last two songs of?
You gonna play some old school stuff.
Wednesday
on the Wednesday night. Yeah.
The Wednesday night, Ankleek Cooley. I've got some Beastie Boys with Paul Revere.
Yeah, that's a good tune.
And then I'm finally going to play "I'm Bad" by LL Cool J. This is us signing out here, Ankleek Cooley. Eddie, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks for asking me to come in and do the show on the Wednesday night here, even though I'm very busy tonight.
Yeah, you are. You're in an airplane right now. It's awesome. So it's Wednesday night, folks. Thanks a lot for listening to Ankleek Cooley.
We should thank Jean, too.
Jean, thank you very much for setting this up for us.
My pleasure, as always.
And things going on here at the Review. We just the newspaper just came out today. Everything's great on a Wednesday. Go next door and get some wings. Yeah. All right, folks. Ankleek Cooley on Ankleek FM, 88.7 FM, the voice of the community.
You got Fashion and jewelry is what I expect. MCA was with it, and he's my ace. So I grabbed the piano player and I punched him in the face. Piano player's out, the music stopped. His boy had beef, and he got dropped.
Mikey grabbed the money.
MCA snatched the gold. I grabbed two girlies and a beer that's cold.
Tall, light skin, leather with dimples. Wearing a black tango sweatsuit.